Group One galore here on this week's Racing Postcast. Welcome along. If you've never been here before, do subscribe to the channel, give the video a like, and if you are listening, do rate and subscribe on all audio platforms. We've got a bumper postcast for you this week and a postcast debutant, I believe, with Jimmy Hill. We'll get to Jimmy in just a bit. We've got Liam Head, also from the Racing Post, and our Unibet representative this week is Brett Williams, who is in a car at Doncaster. Brett, a great few days action there at Doncaster, along with some cracking action in Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, this is a race weekend for the purists. I mean, it's something for everyone, isn't it? I mean, I think we've got 4 days racing here at Doncaster, culminating on Sunday for Family Fun Day, where there's slightly less pressure on the jockeys and trainers. But yeah, we're looking forward to what should be a cracking second ledger. Just the seven runners, so not a great race trip from an each way point of view. But it looks well up to standard renewal. We've got an Irish and an English Derby winner. We've got a Goodwood Cup winner. So, it's a good race to look forward to. And as you said, there's plenty of top-class sport from Leopardstown as well.
There is some top-class action all week. And like I say, Group 1 galore. Jimmy Hill from the Racing Post, welcome along. I believe your debut on the Racing Post. Because, I mean, the show's been going almost 10 years now. But I don't know if you have made an appearance on in the past. But I bet you're looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, you think quite a few years since I last did this, Sam. But, it's great to be back. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, really, really cracking action. And Liam Head, I was watching the front page this week, our regular news editorial show that we have on a Monday, and a lot of chat around the Arc. We may have potential Arc contenders in this year's St. Ledger, but you had some fascinating opinions with regards to Kalpana and some of the Arc trials. It was an interesting weekend just gone by with these trials.
Yeah, I think it kind of left you with more questions than answers, to be honest, given the fact that how quickly the market shaked up. We're none the wiser. Hopefully we'll know more in a few weeks, given that there's still a lot of racing to be had. But it's a difficult puzzle to try and put together, really, the Arc. It just depends on who's going to turn up. There's still so many questions that need to be answered. But I am liking the fact of how wide open it is this year.
Yeah, it certainly is. Do check out the front page. Chris Cook, Maddie Plough and Liam, some really good opinions on the Arc. And Graham Robway, last week on this show, he took plenty of stick on social media, but he did say Kalpana would be beaten in the Unibet September Stakes at Kempton, and that she did. The opinions on Mini Hawker, for you to make your mind up on. Right, let's get in to this week's race, and then we've got three races from Doncaster, and we have to start with the big race, the St. Ledger, the Betfred St. Ledger, Group 1, 1.75 miles, and the Unibet market currently looks like this. Scandinavia at 11-8, Lamborn is 9-4, Karma's 5-1, Stay True is 8-1, Fervor is 12-1, Rahib is 28-1, along with Torriance. I'll come to you first, Jimmy. It's a really interesting one. Aidan O'Brien looking to win this for a third consecutive year. I don't think that's been done for a long, long, long time. But he has the favourite here, Scandinavia, who was ultra impressive in the Goodwood Cup, getting bundles away, obviously. But what do you make of the chances here? And is he the best of Aidan's contenders?
Well, you wouldn't have said that earlier in the summer. I mean, Lamborn, I think if this had been taking place a month after the Derby, you would have looked at it and said, well, this is a penalty kick for him. But he's been pretty underwhelming since. He looked pretty laboured when he won the Irish Derby. And I thought he dropped out very tamely in the Voltigeur. So it's hard to fancy him. I mean, Scandinavia is a big improver of the two. But there are other improvers in the race as well, including Fervor. That's the one I like. Actually finished in front of Scandinavia when they ran in the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot. The key, I think, they changed tactics with him last time at Newbury when he won the Geoffrey Freer. I think that made a big difference. He came through nicely to win that. Looked a better horse to me in doing so. And I think with those change of tactics, he could be the value play in this. I'd recommend a saver on Raheb as well, because of the four that ran in the Queen's Vase, I think he's the biggest price. And he's trained by someone who's won this twice in the last few years. So I wouldn't ignore him either.
Yeah, Fervor and Raheb. Fervor's 12-1 with Unibet. Raheb 28-1. A little bit of each way value there. Liam, Jimmy's kind of away from the Aidan O'Brien contenders there. Are you?
No, I think I must just say it's a it's quite disappointing to see that the sort of the numbers in terms of quantity in this race. Don't get me wrong, we've definitely got quality, and you know, in some of the market leaders, I just fancy Scandinavia to get the job done again for Aidan O'Brien, who again is just the master for all seasons, really. Scandinavia's done very little wrong this season. He's obviously, you know, won three of his four starts. You know, he's improved with you know, plenty going into his next start, obviously, with racing post ratings, obviously yielding an improved one every time he's ran. Obviously, in the defeat at Royal Ascot and the Queen's Vase, did have a lot of ground to make up, was racing very widely, but given the way that he finished that day, he wasn't even beaten that long. He only finished half a length behind Karma's, but he's backed that up twice since, which is what you want to see when these horses with bags of quality, especially in the sort of classic campaigns as well. She's got plenty of stamina, and I'm quite excited to see what he does on Saturday. Even more excited with the booking of Tom Marquand. I think that's just a really, really shrewd appointment by O'Brien. Marquand has, you know, been there, done that, you know, at almost every track in the country. So I think that only enhances his chances on Saturday. And I think we'll see something special from Scandinavia.
Yeah, I do as well. I really love this horse, and it'd be interesting to know what kind of route this horse goes down, Brett Williams, whether they have the option of the Melbourne Cup, whether we go sort of down the long distance cup route on Champions Day, or that might be him done for the season. What do we make of Scandinavia's chances?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Liam's hit the nail on the head saying it's very small in quantity, but quality it's very much up on. And you can make a case for pretty much all of them in the field. It's not just a case of a one-horse race. Yes, I agree. Scandinavia is definitely an improving horse. He was very, very good at Goodwood last time. He's beaten Further before at Newmarket. I do agree, though. I think Further's got a cracking chance. I was quite impressed with him in the Jeffrey Freer at Newbury last time. I was listening to a podcast earlier on in the week with one of the owners of Further who was on it and said that they are possibly going to look at the Melbourne Cup for him. You know, obviously depend on what happens here. It'd be a big ask him to go over there at this sort of stage of the year. But they are, you know, it could be an option for him. He's currently 33-1 with Unibet to win that race. So, you know, that could shorten if he wins or runs well in the St. Ledger. But the horse you haven't mentioned is the winner for me. Stay True. You know, he's the unexposed horse. Only had three runs. A win on his debut over a mile and a quarter, which would suggest that Connections clearly feel he's a horse who's going to progress, you know, as the more he sort of goes on and steps up in trip. You know, I thought that was a perfectly acceptable run in the Voltage last time, where he finished ahead of Lambourne up at York. He wouldn't have been fully tuned up for that. I just think it could be very interesting. You know, we don't know how good he is. I mean, you know, he's obviously got to improve a little bit, but you know, if you imagine Lambourne and the favourite Scandinavia might have had quite hard races this season. They've been on the go for a long time, whereas Stay Tuned has had a bit of a break since he ran the Lingfield Derby trial before the Voltiger. So he comes here a relatively fresh horse. So I think Stay True could be very interesting in a race where we are super boosting all of the field there. So you will get enhanced odds in the final classic of the season. And then, of course, we can focus on the jump racing. Yay!
It's not far away, bro. It's not far away. But yeah, that's it. Super boost in this race from Unibet, 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. T's and C's apply. Head to the Unibet website for that. So really a difference of opinions there. Brett's going to be there with Stay True, the outsider of Aidan's runners. Jimmy's mentioned Further and Raheev as some each-way value, and Scandinavia, the vote for myself and Liam in the ledger. Let's move on then to the Betfred Park Stakes Group 2 contest. 3 o'clock there at Doncaster, 7 furlongs, the trip. And Shadow of Light is the 6-4 favourite of Unibet. 10 Bob Tony is 9-2. Marvel Man, 6-1. Room Service, 8-1. King's Gamble, 10-1. Quinault is 11s. East Hampton, 14s. And looking at 16-1 and bigger, the rest of the field here. The interesting one in here, Liam, is obviously the favourite. Very short Shadow of Light, third in the Guineas, but hasn't really taken the step forward we thought he might do after his two-year-old campaign.
No, absolutely. Obviously, it was pretty special from what we've seen in his two-year-old campaign. But I just think the reason that, and we've said it in the past with some of these horses, the reason that he's probably favourite is probably because it's a Godolphin horse and he's trained by Charlie Appleby. I just think that It's such a wide open race. I mean, you can make a case for a lot of them. The one that I think you can run another big race is 10 Bob Tony from Fred Walker. It's obviously had a long break since winning the John O'Gaughan at Haydock. That was a career best performance on Racing Post ratings. He faced a bit of a challenge from Kim Ross that day, but really, really stuck on strongly to win. The break doesn't really worry me, to be honest. I think, having spoken to Ed Walker a few times, I think he's just a horse who really appreciates a bit of giving the ground. So I think the reason we've not seen him as much as we probably had wanted to see is because of, you know, the drying ground we've had all summer, really. You know, he won at Newmarket last year off a break of 164 days and also was off the track for over 100 days and followed up when second in a Group 3 in France. So he clearly goes well fresh. And I think he's definitely one to take on with a bit of value in this race.
So Liam there with 10 Bob Tony in the Park Stakes. Brett Williams, who are you with?
Shadow of Light, I agree with the panel. You know, he has got questions to answer, but I just think this trip is probably his optimum. And let's not forget, of course, he won the Dewhurst over 7 furlongs. This is obviously going to be easier than some of the races he's tackled already this year. So I'm going to take a chance. I know, as I said, he's a short enough price, but there's just one horse I think you could put into the equation. King's Gamble got blinkers on for the first time. He ran very, very well on his first start back this year at Newbury in July. Wasn't quite so good behind More Thunder. I think it was in Hungerford, wasn't it, last time? If the blinkers have the desired effect, I can certainly see a case for King's Gamble. But no, I'm going to sit with the favourite here, Shadow of Light, in another race where we are super boost in the field.
Another super boost race there, 9 a.m. Saturday morning. Head to Unibet for the T's and C's there. So a vote for the favourite, a vote for the second favourite. Jimmy Hill, are you going to kind of split the panel here?
Yeah, I'm going to go for something a little bit bigger price than those two, actually. I think Shadow of Light's the best horse on it. When he's at his best. He always seems to be doing it at Newmarket, though. So I'm not sure if he's as good a horse away from the Rally Mile. One horse who does really like Doncaster is Room Service. I think he's a really good each-way bet here. He's unbeaten at the course. I think he's won both starts. He was an eye-catcher behind 10 Bob Tony at Haydock when they ran in May. I didn't think he got the run of the race at all that day. Never got a clean run through, staying on nicely at the finish. Then went on to finish second at York after that, another good run. Disappointing at the Curra last time, but I think this is much more his course. He stays the trip really well. And if the cheek pieces have the desired effect, I can see him going pretty close. So he's a good each way bet.
Okay, vote for Room Service then from Jimmy Hill there on the panel. Let's move on then to the final race we're going to look at from Doncaster, 225. I absolutely love this race. Rarely someone would say that for a 5.5 furlong sprint handicap, but it is the Portland Air Force 1, 5-1, Trefor 15-2 along with Addison Gray. Jordan Electrics is 10-1, 11-1 about Riven Hoos, Venture Capital and Eternal Sunshine, 12-1 about Apollo 1, Diablo Rojo and Rosario, and 14s bar these. I won't give too much away as my nap's coming from this race. I do love a big sprint handicap. Not many people say that. Like I say, Jimmy Hill, are you a big fan of this race?
I am actually, yeah. It's always strongly run, and you get a good tempo to it. You get something coming from the back, and I think there's always value to be had. Another person who really likes it is the trainer Roger Teal. He's won this. He's also had a second and a fifth from five runners since 2019. That's really good going in a race as competitive as this. And he's got two going for him this time, and the one of his I like is Rosario. Now, this horse does come with a bit of a wealth warning because he tends to miss the start, which isn't ideal. But, I mean, as I mentioned, a lot of horses tend to come from the back of the field to win this. I think the last five, actually, who won it were held up. And Rosario, definitely well-treated. I think he's £3 lower than he was when he won at Goodwood in May. They've got Tom Marquand booked, so that's significant. Yeah, I think he's good value at his price.
Yeah, Rosario 12-1 currently. Brett, you've given a mention for the jump season already upcoming, and here we are talking about a 5.5 furlong handicap. You might not give me too much love for that, but you may give me some love for an extra place at least in this.
Yeah, you know we're going to get the value with us. Five places each way in this race, Sam. Interesting that Jimmy mentions Rosario. He's one of our best backed in the whole race. Was 25 to 1. In fact, open at 33s into 25s, now 12 to 1. So real big move for Rosario. Probably one of the biggest movers in that race. I quite like Addison Gray. I backed him when he won the Grays race at Newmarket. He's a couple of pounds higher this time. He seems to sort of make quite hard work of it in the end. I thought, is he going to get there? And if this was over seven furlongs, I'd quite fancy him. He's dropping back a little bit in trip, which is a slight concern, but it's a much bigger field. They're going to go a lot faster. That's slightly softer ground, just make it more of a sort of stamina sort of test over five and a half, if you know what I mean. And I just think he's improving horse. Clive Cox won this race in 2005. With a horse called Out After Dark, so he knows how to win it. And I just think Addison Gray could be very interesting. But, you know, I mean, I can't believe, Sam, that you're going for a nap in a race where there are 150 runners. You must be absolutely mad.
No, I'm convinced I found the winner, a horse that will be coming from the back, but I'll leave that till the end of the show. So vote for Addison Gray there for Brett Williams, 15 to 2 currently. Liam, you're going to finish us off in the Portland.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with what Brett said. I think Addison Gray can put up another, you know, big performance for Clive Cox. Very lightly raced, was really, really impressive in the grey horse at Newmarket. I don't think that the dropping back in trip, you know, it's only half a furlong, but he showed plenty of speed where, you know, at Newmarket that day. And I think the draw can be quite a pointer for this race. Eight of the last 10 winners have been drawn in stalls 10 and above. So the fact that Addison Gray's in 13 should only enhance his chances. And I think he can go well for Cox, who is obviously having a tremendous season.
Okay, two votes for Addison Gray there in the Portland and a vote for Rosario from Jimmy Hill. So, yeah, let us know down in the comments who you fancy in this year's Portland. There are obviously other races on ITV from Doncaster. Liam, you have got a quick selection.
Yeah, I like Gohan in the 150 for Andrew Balding. I was at Newbury the day he won on his debut. Really impressive. Stayed on well. He followed that up, winning in the Accum. The Newbury race has really worked out well. Lost Signal, who finished third to him that day, has won twice since for Richard Hannon. And Gohan obviously beat Italy in the Accum, so a really, really impressive performance. It's interesting because Andrew Balding targeted that same Newbury race with Geraldine, then went on to win the Accum, then went to win this race and followed it up next year, the next year by winning the 2000 Guineas. So I really think this horse, if he puts in a, you know, another bold show and gets the third win out of three, I really think he could be one for a classic campaign next season.
Okay, let's go on in the 150 from Doncaster on Saturday from Liam. Right, we're going to get stuck into Chester. Welcome back to this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Jimmy Hill, Liam Head and Brett Williams steering you through the top class action on ITV this Saturday. We move to Chester now for two races and we start off with the Stan Cup Stakes. It's a listed race at 205 there and the prices currently have Hamish as the 6-5 on favourite Unibet. Military Academy is 100-30. So Dinner Dan is 9-2. Mount Atlas 7-1. Grey Cuban 12s and Champagne Prince 22-1. Jimmy Hill, a bunch of four-year-olds and three-year-olds in the field, and then you've got Hamish leading the way, odds on at the age of nine at the top of the market.
Yeah, he's a fantastic horse, isn't he, Sam? I mean, always runs his race. I mean, his strike rate's amazing. They've campaigned him really well. He's not quite a top-level horse, but in these Group 2s and 3s, he's been absolutely mustered over the years. And I think he can win another one. I think it's a close call between him and Military Academy. There was nothing between them when they met each other at Goodwood in May. Hamish just coming out on top on that occasion. He has a penalty for that, so Military Academy will be £3 better off. But Hamish, he's unbeaten round Chester. Very good record, fresh. He hasn't run since then. I don't think that's a negative at all. I mean, that's actually when he seems to be at his best. And as I mentioned, he's Mr. Consistent. So I'm going to stick with him. A narrow call over Military Academy.
I absolutely love Hamish's win at Goodwood. For some reason, one of my favourite finishes of the flat season so far. And it was a great bit of commentary from John Hunt that day as well. Liam, head to you then. Is Hamish the vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I could just let Jimmy keep on talking, basically. I think course form at Chester is sort of half the battle, really. And the fact that Hamish is two from two there only speaks volumes of how well the William Haggas has been placing this horse. Like Jimmy said, you know, he's not the sort of the top level, but, you know, just underneath that, he's been a main player for, you know, for all his years. You only have to look at his age of nine, and he's still up to the capability of taking on these younger horses once again. So I thought it was an impressive performance in the Tapster at Goodwood. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't make it three at Chester on Saturday.
Yeah, we'd love to see it. Right now, Brett Williams, last week, Sky Safari was the hat-trick horse of the week, and an Ed Nixon nap. He wasn't on the show, but he sent it in. Is Hamish going to be this week's hat-trick horse?
I think so. I agree with everything that Liam and Jimmy have said. Is there's no real reason to oppose him. The ground would be just a slight concern if it sort of quickens up, but, you know, he should be able to handle good ground, shouldn't he? And he sets the standard. He's top rated, and, you know, it'll be incredibly hard to peg back in a race where we will be top. Yes, top, even higher than that. Industry price.
Top industry price then, yeah. And the 205 at Chester, that is from 12 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Right, let's move on to a race where hoping we might get an extra place. We'll get that from Brett Williams in a minute. But the 240 at Chester is the Watergate Cup. It's a heritage handicap over 2 miles. We're in Darby's the 7-2 favourite, Spirit Mixer and Sheridana 6-1, along with Artisan Dancer, actually. Then we've got Zoffy at 7-1, Tribal Star 17-2, Pridwin's 9-1, double figures about the rest of the field. Liam Head, who doesn't love a 2 mile race round Chester, eh?
Exactly. It's you know, it's one for the fans. It's such a unique track, really, isn't it? I mean, I was only there a couple of weeks ago for you know, for their meeting at the end of August, and it's just, you know, it's such a tight track. You've got to get your position so right. I like a Tribal Star in this, a decent price. It's interesting to see Ado McGuinness send a horse over to Chester. I think he's only ever had one runner at the track before. I think Tribal Star's got a nice racing weight, and he's had a fairly decent season so far. Produced a huge improvement on racing post ratings when winning at Dundalk the last day. But he's been over to Britain twice, so he clearly travels well. He was fourth in the Northumberland Plates, wasn't beat much, and before Dundalk, that was his best performance to date. And he was also second at Newcastle in April, so I don't think Ado McGuinness would be sending one over just to make up the numbers, to be honest. I think this lad's got a good chance.
Tribal Star there for Liam Head then. We love to get some insight on the Ian Williams runners as soon as Brett Williams comes on this show. So Sheridan, Brett, give us a little bit of a word.
He's a lovely horse, lovely grey horse, actually. I've ridden him a couple of times. I think he's got a good squeak here, actually. He won at Southall on the all-weather. If you look at his form, he's actually got much better form on the all-weather than he has on the turf. And arguably, although he likes soft ground in France, he hasn't performed that well on soft ground since he's been transferred to Ian's yard. But he did, as I said, went on the all-weather at Southall last time at the Racing League. He's a couple of pounds higher, and the ground is good at Chester. So I think that would really suit him. This is his trip. He's in the Cesaro, which, of course, an early closer, so you put them in, you know, obviously early. But they're looking at that race. He's 33-1 with Unibet to win that. And again, if he wins this on Saturday, he'll probably shorten up a little bit. But yeah, the team are in good form. They've been among the winners. And I think he can go well, Sheridan, in a race where we are paying four places each way.
We're always getting an extra place in a 2 mile handicap round Chester, for sure. The interesting one at the top of the market, we haven't given too much of a shout, is Gordon Elliott's and Darwy Jimmy Hill. Now, this horse here obviously won the Galway Hurdle on its last start and was second in the county at Cheltenham. We really are talking about the jumps.
We really are. No, we all know Ndawi as a hurdler. But I'm more interested here how he's going to perform on the flat. I think he's very well treated on his jumps form. Delighted to see him running here because he was also entered in the Mallard at Doncaster. But this is actually a more valuable race. And I think it's an easier race to win as well. And Darwy, as you mentioned, won the Galway Hurdle, second in the county. That form's looking better and better by the day. Rated 89 here, which I think makes him extremely well handicapped. And if he stays a trip, which I think he should round Chester, I think he's got every chance. He ran off a bit higher last summer in some of the Premier long distance handicaps on the flat, the Ascot Stakes and the Cesaro, which he didn't get home on those occasions. But this shouldn't be as exacting a stamina test. And he's certainly got the class to win it. So I'm pretty hopeful.
Mm-hmm. And Derby then for Jimmy Hill. And extra selections potentially at Chester. I've got it down on my notes that, Jimmy, you do have one.
Yeah, in the nursery, in the 325, a horse I like there called Honey Girl. She's really flies at the blocks. That's really important on the Rudy. Big advantage, I think. And she comes here off the back of a victory at Ripon last time. She looked very good that day. This is a sizable step up in class. But I think that was quite a good race she won at Ripon. And as I mentioned, she ran it really well. Has a listed entry in the two-year-old trophy at Redcar later in the autumn. So connections obviously think a bit of her as well. Looks fast and genuine. I think she's got a good chance here.
Okay, yeah, one for the nursery from Jimmy then. Let's move over to Ireland. We were always going to cover the top class action from Ireland on the show. And we're going to look at the two group ones on Saturday from Leopardstown. The first of which is the 4:25 there. It is the Matron Stakes over a mile for the fillies and mares. And the current market has January at the top of the market around 13-8. Then you've got Fallen Angel at 9-4. So Sene is 100-30. Exactly is 9-1. Vera's Secret 11-1, 14-1. And bigger the rest of the field here. I think this is a really fascinating contest. Might not be the best quality contest, Jimmy, but it is interesting with potentially some of these fillies targeting the QE2.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it's a really competitive running of the Matron. Really close call between all of them. I mean, the three-year-olds, I think they've won 9 of the last 10, so you've got to look at them first. And I think of those three-year-olds, Sene is a solid option. She's already won at this level, won the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot. Bit concerned about the ground. I see it's now gone soft at Leopardstown. Probably not ideal. She prefers a faster surface. Hopefully it will dry out a little bit and it doesn't get much more testing. She did finish second behind Whirl on Heavy at Goodwood last time, so she can handle it. You can't question her attitude. She's really tough. And I think she should be favourite here. Certainly shorter than January, who looks a bit of a weak finisher. So I would prefer her over the others.
Okay. Liam, what's your opinion on the Matron?
Yeah, I really, really like Sir Sally as well as Jimmy. She's obviously not done a lot wrong this season. 5 starts, finished inside the top 3 in all of them. And obviously she's a Group 1 performer, having landed the Coronation as well. So I think she's just a really improving 3-year-old who can, you know, get the job done at you know, on Saturday. Really impressive performance. Obviously the Goodwood second, you know, she finished second behind Whirl, who, you know, could be an art contender as well. So you know, you can definitely sort of boost that form up a little bit. And I think if she travels well into the race, then she can be one of the main players.
Okay, 2 votes for Sene then. Brett, make it 3.
I think I am, to be honest, Sam. I mean, you look at the form for a lot of them, and none of them really, if the ground is going to be quite tested, none of them really handle it. So Sene, she did finish second on it on Heavy last time, albeit she was beaten 5 lengths, which doesn't suggest she handles it, but at least she's run on it, so she has got experience under these sort of conditions. I agree with everything Jimmy said as well. It's an open race. You know, you can make a case for all of them, really. It is a very, very competitive renewal, certainly from a betting point of view as well. We are super boosting the field in this, so you're going to get some decent odds. Just at a slightly bigger price, if the ground does sort of turn up quite soft, Queen of Thunder, she's a massive price, around 50, 60, 61 or whatever price she is, for Kenny Condon. You know, she's got some solid enough form. She's probably got to just step up a little bit, but she wasn't beaten too far last time, and I think the step or the return to a mile will definitely see her in a better light. So again, I don't think she'll win Queen of Thunder, but I think, you know, if the ground turns up soft, she could finish in the money. But I do think Sene is the most likely winner. She brings the strongest form to the race.
Okay, hat-trick horse again. So Sene this week, a fair enough price in the Matron Stakes. Let us know down in the comments who you fancy in that race. There's also an each-way selection from Brett there in the race that Unibet will be super boosting. Let's go on to the other Group 1 on Saturday. It is the Royal Bahrain Irish Champion Stakes, over 10 furlongs, 5:30 there at Leopardstown. And I can never remember a running of this where it hasn't been a quality field. We've got Delacroix as the 11-8 favourite of Unibet. Then we've got Anmat at 4-1. Shin Emperor, the Japanese Raiders, back again, 9-2. Then we got Zaran for Johnny Murta at 11-2. White Birch is 15-2. Royal Champion, 16-1. Hot as Hell is 20-1. And Mount Kilimanjaro is the outsider at 66-1. Like I say, Liam, I really can't remember a renewal of this race where it's actually been poor.
No, it's, you know, the fact that it's, yeah, it's such a quality race as we've seen over the years, and it's had top class winners. So, you know, given the prize money and the time of year, obviously it fits well for this. And then a lot of these horses will probably go on for the Champion Stakes at Ascot at the end of October. So, you know, I think this is a really high class renewal. There's a case made to for a lot of them. You know, it wouldn't be a shock to see Mount Kilimanjaro, the pacemaker, probably go on and do something at a big price. But it's wide open for me. I believe this is Anmat's time. You know, it's really fancy this horse. Conditions are going to be right up his street. It's been I spoke to Owenborough throughout the summer. It's been a highly frustrating season for them because of the ground. You know, the horse simply needs soft ground and testing ground, and it looks as though he's going to get that. He's been such a fantastic yard performer. Two times he ran this season, second both times, ran an absolute cracker in the Tats Gold Cup at the Curragh on his first start. You know, ground was sort of pretty speedy that day, and I think the only reason he lost out to Los Angeles was a lack of race fitness. Los Angeles had a race before him, so there's plenty of excuses that can be given that day. And I just think on his day, you know, still at this age of seven, I just think he really is a superstar, and I'd be very surprised if he doesn't bring the fight to Delacroix in this one.
Yeah, and Mac, yeah, he's an interesting horse, soft ground as well, currently, as it's labelled on the Racepost website, at Leopardstown. And look, Jim Crowley would have obviously taken the ride, but wishing Jim the best with his recovery from a nasty fall the other day. But Chris Hayes is an excellent replacement there over there at Leopardstown, a brilliant jockey around the course. So yeah, and Mac, a right chance. What about you, Jimmy Hill? Who do you like in the race?
Liam mentioned Mount Kilimanjaro there. I mean, I fancied him for another race in the card, so I suppose I have to have a quid each way to cause another pace-making shot. I mean, surely we're not going to have that again. Delacroix is a short price, yes, but I think you can make a pretty solid case for him, can't you? I mean, what is it, 14 three-year-olds since 2004 have won this? That's a lot. Aidan O'Brien's won this 12 times, including five of the last six runnings. I think he's a lot of key stats favour Delacroix, who we know has got the class to win this following his victory in the Eclipse. I mean, as you mentioned, you don't get bad Irish Champion Stakes, but I have seen better runnings, I have to admit, than this. Anmat, Shin Emperor, White Birch, I mean, they're all very good horses, but they're all coming off breaks. Delacroix should be absolutely spot on for this, and he's definitely got the class to win it.
Okay, yeah, Delacroix there. It's an interesting one. I wish it came out of good ground, because I thought the Japanese Raider, actually Shin Emperor, would have had a right chance of good ground. I think it ran really well last year, and it's a slightly weaker renewal than what it was last year, in my opinion. Brett Williams, what was your opinions on the Irish Champion Stakes?
Well, obviously Delacroix sets a standard on his Eclipse win. I mean, the only time he's sort of ran on ground like this, probably not quite as soft as this, but was soft ground in the Epsom Derby, albeit that was over a mile and a half. So whether he's going to be quite suited by the softer ground at the Leopardstown, I'm not too sure. Which brings me to Zaran. I know he's probably got to step up a little bit, and you watch him run. He looks very, very lazy. He needs a lot of rice in the line. He's always slow away, and he makes his jockey work. But he's got plenty of ability and was impressive last time. He's 3-3 over a mile and a quarter. And in a race, you know, where I do like Anmat as well. I agree with everything that Liam said. He deserves to win. He's, you know, been a top-notch performer for Connections down the years, and it would be a real deserved success if he could claim victory here. But I just think at a slightly bigger price, I think he's around sort of, 5-6-1. What is he? Zara, yeah, about 11-2 sort of price. Just think it could be quite interesting. A race where, you know, I think there are a few sort of holes in Delacroix. Anmat's not getting any younger. So I just think the young pretender, the horse who's coming through the ranks, could be Zaram for Johnny Murta. In a race where we are, Super Boost in the field as well. Got to get that in.
Plenty of Super Boost going on. There really is. Plenty of Super Boost from Unibet this weekend. And look, the fight talk from Aidan O'Brien's try and pull Ombudsman over didn't quite come off. Ombudsman goes for the British equivalent, the British Champion Stakes on Champions Day at Ascot, only a few weeks away that. So yeah, panel are quite split there with their opinions on the Champion Stakes. Again, let us know down in the comments who you fancy in the big one. Loads of good action, not just at Leopardstown. Obviously, the weekend carries on over onto Sunday as well. We've got the Flying Five on Sunday. Really looking forward to Asthora and her connections turn up for the Flying Five. They'll probably be hoping for rattling fast ground. It doesn't look like they will get that, but we'll have to wait and see whether they get a trip to Pop World in Ireland at 4 a.m. I'm not sure. But Jimmy Hill, you've got some selections from Ireland, I believe.
I have indeed, yeah. It could be a good day for Joseph O'Brien as well, Sam. A lot of rain forecast for Sunday morning at the Curra. It's going to turn the ground pretty testing. That will suit Al Ripper, who does like a bit of cut underfoot. I think he should be favourite for the Irish St. Ledger. I mean, he's always performed well in Group 1s. He's won a couple of them, finished second in an Eclipse. So he's always had that touch of class. And his pedigree has always suggested that a step up in trip from a mile and a quarter, mile and a half would suit him. So he tried a mile six for the first time over the course and distance last time out. And he won by 5 lengths, won with plenty of authority. I think he's going to take all the beating in this. As I said, conditions should be in his favour. And half an hour later in the Blandford Stakes at 5 o'clock, I think the stable can strike again with We Might Take the Long Way. Always a difficult name to remember, but I think this could be her moment. She's been chasing Minnie Hook and Wells' tail throughout the summer, but she's the top rated here. Dropping back in trip, but I think with the forecast morning rain, it's going to bring her stamina into play. She's got that touch of class, and I think it's a good opportunity for her.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's in the 4:25 is the Irish St. Ledger. That's Al Ripper as one of the sections, and We Might Take the Long Way in the 5 o'clock, the Blandford Stakes from the Curra on Sunday. So yeah, some top quality action. Like I say, do let us know who your best bet is over in Ireland or whether it is at Doncaster. Some really great action. Really looking forward to the weekend ahead, and we'll be getting our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Once again, it's Sam Hart, Jimmy Hill, Liam Head and Brett Williams about to give you our best bets. But before we do so, Brett, any other Unibet offers to give a mention to this weekend?
Yeah, I've just been through them for you actually quickly. If you're having a bet in the 115 Doncaster, money back as cash if you back the second or the third, and we're paying 4 places each way there. In the Portland Handicap, 5 places each way, a cracking contest at 225. Super Boost in the field in the Park Stakes and the St. Ledger, along with the runners in the Matron and the Irish Champion Stakes. And as a Brucey bonus, extra places each way in the 2:40 at Chester, the 4 o'clock and the 4:35. If you don't believe me, look, there it is, written in blue and white. Easy.
There we go. All of the details there. And you can head to unibet.co.uk for all of the offers there, T's and C's will apply. Right, time for the best bets this weekend then. I'll save mine till last, but it is going to come in the Portland. But we'll go to you, Liam Head. Who's going to be your best bet this weekend?
10 Bob Tony in the Betfred Park Stakes, the 3 o'clock at Doncaster on Saturday. Comes into this on the back of winning the John O'Gorn at Haydock. Career best performance on Racing Post ratings. And, you know, he's had a bit of a break, but that's due to the ground. I think he'll appreciate any give in the ground. He obviously goes well fresh. He's won a couple of times on the back of 100-plus days off the track. So the time off doesn't alarm me at all. And I think he can definitely win this. It's an open race and the yard are in great form.
Okay, 10 Bob Tony then for Liam Head. Jimmy Hill, yours is from Chester.
It is, yes. Undawi in the 2:40. As I mentioned, top-class hurdler, rated 153 over the smaller obstacles. rated only 89 on the flat. I think this is a great opportunity for him and he should go really well.
Okay, and Brett Williams, you're going to Ireland?
Yeah, I'm going to go in the Irish Champion Stakes, drop at 5:30, Zahran for Johnny Murta in the Silks of the Arca Can. A very inexposed horse, only had 5 starts so far, won 3 of them, 2 from 2 over a mile and a quarter. I think he could be the improving horse in the field. So Zahran for me in the Irish Champion Stakes.
That's Zahran in the Irish Champion Stakes. I'm going to finish this off, like I say, in the Portland, Robert Cowell, Jamie Spencer, Jaka Jaro. Form figures in his last 3 runs are 3rd, 3rd, and 3rd. I back this horse in the Stewards' Cup at Goodwood. Thought this horse was awfully unlucky. Is going to get a typical Jamie Spencer ride in the race like this. But as Jimmy said earlier in the show, there should be a strong pace. This horse will travel so well and finish with an absolute flourish. I do think of a mark of 96, this horse has a right chance. So around 14-1 with Unibet, I think Jaka Jaro will be winning the Portland Handicap. And that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to Jimmy Hill, Liam Head, and Brett Williams. Brett, how many days are you at Doncaster for?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So having a day off on Sunday. And then looking forward to Newbury next weekend for the Mill Reef meeting.
Yeah, and look out on the Unibet socials for any exclusive content that Brett will be bringing you. We'll be back again next week. We are getting towards the end of the flat season here in Britain, but we will be back next week with another weekend preview. James Stevens will be back in the hot seat. But until then, do like, comment, share, and subscribe. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.